Good morning.
Here we go. Where may please stand with me for today's reading. Today's reading is from John 14, 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Rob, and you may be seated. Well, my little table did a walk when I was gone. All through the month of August, we've been talking about the abundant life. We've been really holding dear to us Jesus' words in John 10:10, that I came to give life with joy and abundance. Amen? Reason why we can have that abundant life is because we have a relationship. We have a relationship with the Lord of all creation. We have a relationship with our God. And that is amazing. Doesn't it feel good to be loved by the Lord of all creation? Oh, come on. There you go. Now, if you're in relationship with God, I'm thinking that you know God. Doesn't that make sense? So I have a little exercise for you to do. People at home, I invite you to go and find some paper and a pencil or a pen. Those of you that are here, you can turn over your worship guide to the notes page. And this is a simple exercise that I'd like for you to do. And that is this. When you think, T-H-I-N-K, when you think of God, when you bring God to your heart, what does God look like? Draw a picture. What does God look like to you? I see some of you are drawing that picture in your minds, and that's okay. I've got picture in my mind too. Now, I'm thinking that some of you, when you think God, the picture that comes into your mind is of an old man in the clouds. There's that language of God the Father, and somehow it's almost like God the grandfather, the really, really old grandfather, right? That's up in heaven. We see that in a lot of art. For some of you, when you think God, you might see Jesus. And so you draw a picture of a dude with a beard. Although we don't really know if Jesus had a beard or not. Bible doesn't say. For some of you, maybe your heart is on something more abstract, and you might, I don't know, draw a picture of a sun or a sunset or something like that that represents something of who God is. You've now engaged in an exercise that artists have done for centuries when they were asked, what does God look like? Take this picture, for instance. This is a picture of God, our one God. But as you can see, on the right, we have God the Father, the old man. We have Jesus the Son. And there in the middle, representing the Holy Spirit, we have a dove. Now this painting, which there are several paintings that use this motif, is very theological in its construction Because what they're representing is one God in three persons, the triune God. And very intentionally, notice how they've all put them on equal stature with each other. You don't see one above the other. You see Father, Son, Spirit, all in one line. That's how this artist has pictured one God. Thank you very much, guys. You could take that picture down. You should look up some great art, see how people picture God. Just look up triune God, and you could see some wonderful pictures. Our understanding of the Trinity is amazing, and it is mysterious, and it would take a long time to talk about. So we're not going to necessarily go there, except to say that the Trinity, our triune God, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's other language that is used to express that, creator, redeemer, sanctifier, for instance. But very simply, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, in all your thoughts, when you drew a picture, when you thought God, when you brought God to heart, I imagine that many of you drew a picture of God the Father, and I imagine that many of you drew a picture of Jesus Christ, but probably a smaller percentage actually tried to draw a picture of the Holy Spirit. In all my experience of confirmation when we've asked this question, in all my experience of beginning Christianity classes when I've asked this question, very few people say, well, this is my picture of God as the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that we somehow latch on to certain images of God, but the Holy Spirit still remains mysterious. And we're going to try to keep the mystery, but in this series of Winds of the Spirit, we're going to be lifting up the Holy Spirit because, friends, it's the Holy Spirit how we best can experience God's presence, God's peace, and God's power. And it's important for us to know more about the Holy Spirit. I preached about it 6 times last year. If you were here last year, you probably heard about a lot. I've noticed I haven't done my preaching on the Holy Spirit, so today is that day. So listen up, because when we learn about the Holy Spirit, then we also learn about ourselves. This is also a good day to take notes. So if you've got paper and pen around you, I invite you to do that. Now, in the Bible, Holy Spirit is mentioned at least 500 times. Must be important. In the Hebrew scriptures that we call the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word that's used predominantly to talk about the Spirit, God's Spirit. And that word is ruach. Say that with me, ruach. That's just a cool sounding word. Ruach is a word that's used all through the Hebrew scriptures, and it begins so early. The very first 2 verses of the very first book of the Bible in Genesis, it says, in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a ruach from God swept over the face of the waters, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. That same word, ruach, is what God breathes into a lifeless lump of clay to create a living being in the 2nd chapter of Genesis. And friends, right from the very beginning, we see that the Spirit is a creative, life-giving force. Now, all you Star Wars fans out there, it is not the Force. Well, actually, for us, this is the Force, the creative, life-giving force. That is God. And it's this creative, life-giving force that also empowers leadership in the Old Testament. All those elders that were empowered for leadership to help Moses out when the leadership burden became too much for him. All of those prophets that were called, they didn't just get a phone call from God. They had a movement of the Spirit that moved through them, that called them to say God's words, Ruach, God's Spirit. We come to the New Testament, and God's creative, life-giving force has now, the language has changed. It is now known as Pneuma. Now, you might have heard of Pneuma before. There's some Sunday school or small group curriculum called Pneuma, not spelled the same. But it too is a life-giving force. The Apostle Paul talks about it a great deal. It's a force that for believers gives them these spiritual gifts to build up the church and the kingdom of God on earth. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. If you want to have a head start, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. If you live life filled with pneuma, with the Spirit, then you also experience the fruit of the Spirit. Not bananas, not apples, but gentleness, kindness, self-control. Boy, I don't see a lot of that fruit of self-control lately in our culture, do you? But a life lived with the Spirit, you encounter this fruit. And the Spirit itself is there with us. There's another word that is used for Spirit. And that word has been translated into what Lori had talked about as comforter. But as you heard Rob read, that word comes out as advocate. That word in Greek is actually paraclete. And it has a lot of different meanings, just like a lot of Greek words do. That's why interpreting the Bible is very fun. But when Jesus is talking with his followers at that Last Supper that he had with them many, many years ago, he's trying to explain to them this great gift that God the Father is giving them. And that is another advocate, another counselor, another comforter, another guide. Well, who's the first one, if there's another? It's not rocket science. It's Jesus. Jesus, who's right in front of him, is their advocate, their comforter, their guide. The Father promises another one. Why would Jesus promise that to them? Well, it's because situations are about to change. And that change is going to be hard for them. Jesus has now come to that time where he knows, in how the Gospel of John explains it, he is going to come into his glory in the Father, which means he is going to be arrested, he is going to be tried and convicted unjustly for a crime, and he will be put to death. He will be lifted up high on a cross. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Jesus knows this. The disciples should have known it too. It's not that Jesus was keeping it from them, but they just couldn't get it. For whatever reason, no matter how many times Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to be captured and he's going to face torment and he's going to die, but after 3 days he's going to rise. Oh yeah, he's going to rise resurrected. Awesome news. But his disciples just don't get it. And so Jesus says, it's okay. I'm going to go to a place, it's my Father's house where there are many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But in the meantime, my Father is going to give you a gift. And that is the gift of the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor. This Holy Spirit is important to us, church. This is how we experience God's presence, His peace, and God's power. And I would share with you that it's God's power that we really need to experience, that we really seem to be disconnected from. There's a story about a missionary, Herbert Jackson. Herbert Jackson goes into a country with his family and starts a good ministry there. And to help him on his way, the good people of the town that he's doing ministry in, well, they give him a car. And it's a great car, except that it won't start right. You either have to jump start it or push start it. So what Brother Jackson does is that he thinks and he plans. And what he does is that on his journeys out to the people, he makes sure that he always parks on a hill so that he can get a good roll going. Or he really scopes out the town, and he usually does what he can to park by the school so that when school is out, then he can get some of the kids to come out and help him push the car to jumpstart it. Brother Jackson does that for 2 years, and he's always able to start the car. Woohoo! Now, the time came when his health and that of his wife, well, it's getting pretty poor, so he's going to need to leave that ministry. So the new missionary comes in, and his brother Jackson is showing him the ropes. He said, look what the town gave me. They gave me this car, and it's great, but you've got to start it this way. You've got to either push start it or jump start it, because it just won't start any other way. The other missionary looks at him and shakes his head. And then he said, well, let me take a look at it. And he lifts up the hood. He looks in there. He said, well, this wire is loose here. And he connects it. And then he gets in the car and it starts right up. See, what happens when you try to connect on your own power without really looking at how really to connect to the power source? This is our condition when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected, but we seem to have a difficult time getting connected. I think a lot of it's because we're not always aware of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always here. The Holy Spirit is around us. The Holy Spirit is within us. This is God's presence, His peace, His power within us. And yet, we're not always aware. Are you aware the Holy Spirit is with you right now? The Holy Spirit never leaves you as a believer. The Holy Spirit is with you. But we're not always aware of it, are we? Sometimes we are aware of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit nudges us to do something, to help somebody out, to pray for somebody. Or maybe the Holy Spirit nudges us not to do something. And we say no. Yeah, we resist the Holy Spirit. Typically don't get struck by lightning if that happens, but we lose out of whatever experience the Holy Spirit has for us. And then, friends, in our sin, whether conscious or not, well, that sometimes occludes our vision, and we can't see with our heart the Holy Spirit. But we need to see the Holy Spirit. We need to know the Holy Spirit. Don't you want to know the Holy Spirit? You're very quiet. You two at home too, I don't hear you. We really need to know the Spirit. We really need to be connected to the Spirit, because we've got so much on our shoulders right now. We are in the world of COVID still. I look out and, you know, we are masked and unmasked, but this is our condition. We've got schools where we've got children that are quarantined. We've got our friends and our neighbors that are getting sick. We've got hospitals that are over max. We've got healthcare workers that are exhausted. And the whole thing has become so politicized, we can't even talk about it to come to a common solution without a fight breaking out. And then we've got this world of ours and all the natural disasters that are happening with forest fires and earthquakes and flooding and all those things. We've got Afghanistan and our feelings about that and you know, what to do in a lot of the affairs of the world. And, you know, just coming right back to us and all of our health concerns that we have and all the stresses that we're under. And, oh, the church, too. You know, I think several of us are undergoing grief in the church right now because church is different. Worship is different. Discipleship is different. Serving others is different because we're not able to have a full sanctuary. But we do have great online worship and people who are worshiping online. But it's different. And there's a little bit of grief because things are not the way that they were. And you know what? Things are not going to get back the way they were. And I think that's because God is doing a new thing. And we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit and what's going on here. And so, a simple challenge to us all. I would ask that each of us would pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in their lives, to get connected to God's power. Why do you think the church began? It wasn't just a special effects show of all those tongues of flame and the mighty whooshing wind and that one-time thing. It was because the Holy Spirit came and empowered the disciples. So they went out to the world just as they were, and they did mighty acts for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You're even going to do more than I did. Things that are greater than I did. You can do this because the Spirit is with you." And today we go, "Oh, well, the church is dying and we, you know, we've got not very many members and da-da-da. So let's tap in to Holy Spirit power." Here's the thing, friends. We are not supposed to audit our faith. You know, I used to audit some college classes because you get a little bit of credit. You don't have to worry about a grade. There's no auditing your faith. God calls you to more. And you can do more. You can be a part of what God is doing in this world by following the Holy Spirit. And so that's my simple prayer for all of us, to be empowered by the Spirit. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'll be sharing more about what the Spirit does in our lives, the fruits of the Spirit and the spiritual gifts, because all of us should be experiencing the fruits of a Spirit-filled life, and all of us should have spiritual gifts that we can name and identify that help with the building up of the kingdom of God in this world. And I look out, and I can see your faces, and I know the fruit that I see in your lives. And I've seen your spiritual gifts, and I'm amazed always. So if you're feeling like I don't have any of that, you're wrong. At least from my eyes, I see that in all of you here. But it's good for us to know about it, isn't it? Friends, the Apostle Paul tells us that our bodies are a temple for the Holy Spirit. Mine is somewhat larger than other bodies, other temples. But the temple has to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The The temple is filled with the Holy Spirit. We just have to know that it is and live as though our bodies are filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what can happen? Transformation. It's that transformation that people see that make them want to go, I want to know what's going on here. I want to know what they have. I want to be a part of that life. And it can happen. I want to share a poem with you. Some of you know this poem, but I love it. And to me, it just says a lot about the touch of the Holy Spirit in our lives and what it can do, how it can transform us, and how we can transform this world. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but held it up with a smile. What am I bidding, good folks? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three. But no. From the back, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, what am I to bid for the old violin? And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, and who will make it two? $2,000, and who will make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried. We do not quite understand. What's changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And this is the power, God's power, the Holy Spirit within us that turns us all into masterpieces in service of the Lord of all creation. And all God's people said, amen.